not adjust your podcasting app of choice, I actually have recorded something. Hello, I'm Rob Manifield. If you're new to the podcast, this is Everything Racing Podcast. It used to be called F1 Everything Podcast a few years ago. Everything Racing Podcast for the last few years. And I'm back to make another comeback. So I figured this weekend, it being the Monaco Grand Prix and the Indy 500 this weekend, was as good a time as any to get the mic out and go again. This episode is going to explain a few things, mostly where I've been, plans for the podcast, and then a little bit of actual motorsport chatter. Monaco Grand Prix and Indy 500 previews, that's to get going, get us going with this sort of reboot of Everything Racing Podcast. So, where have I been? Obviously, that's the question you've all been asking and waiting. I had a look at the sort of analytics, say on Spotify, and there are people still following the show even though I haven't uploaded in nearly a year, and that's actually kind of motivated me to people who actually are interested maybe in what I'm saying. So thank you for sticking around. That's very, very encouraging. I'm gonna have a real good go of this again. But to be honest with you, the reason why I haven't been podcasting for quite a long time now, and every time I come back, I always say, oh, this is the one I'm going to come back, I'm going to be more consistent. And there's a few reasons. I mean, firstly, life has just been very busy. 2022 was really busy, and things going on in my life in general, won't go into that, but it's, there's been stuff, you know, it's just life, it happens, you know, and your hobbies sometimes have to take a back seat, and podcasting very much took a back seat. I now feel rejuvenated and ready to go and to really give this a go. But one of the main reasons why I was away for so long was that I wasn't motivated. When I changed the name of the podcast from F1 Everything to Everything Racing Podcast, I was motivated. I had a new idea in mind. And also, I changed it right at the beginning of COVID. And I mean, we weren't to know when I started it, you know, the new stuff, the Honest Racing Hypes, the lists, etc., the changes that I made to the podcast. It went from being just from racing stories and little ramblings once in a while to actually quite a bit of variety covering, you know, more categories of motorsport other than Formula One. And I was really motivated and also had a lot of spare time because we were all in lockdown. You know, life essentially, quote unquote, has gotten back to normal in the last few years. So that sort of additional spare time to really sit down and write stuff has not been there. And I, you know, to be honest with you, what I was doing was really time consuming. You know, that aspect of it used to be fun, but when you're working full time and you've got things going on in your life that you need to focus on more than this, to sit down for hours and hours and write scripts for podcasts is actually quite difficult. So I didn't have that motivation. I feel like I do, though, because I'll get into what my plans are for the podcast going forward and to see if this works for me and for you. End of the day, I want to make as good a content as I can for people who take the time to listen to me, but also want it to be a fun process for me at the same time, and one that's practical. My current job at the moment, you know, I started a new job, my current job, I have the option now where I can come home on my lunch break like I'm doing right now and record, and that's great. In the past, I haven't been able to do that. And that, again, you know, with just life and dealing with other things going on, has meant, you know, finding that time to not only write scripts, record them and edit them was difficult. But I feel like I've now got windows in my life that I can then both just, you know, write stuff and record it, because I'm not going to be doing so much scripted stuff going forward. It's more going to resemble things that I used to call racing ramblings. I'll get to more of that in a minute. But now that things have slightly changed in my life, I have been able to find more time to both write stuff and record it. So that's exciting, because, you know, at the end of the day, as much as it was nice seeing, you know, content get out there and people enjoying it, it has to be fun. And writing hours and hours and hours worth of scripts wasn't fun anymore, and podcasting in general wasn't fun. You know, that whole process, I used to absolutely adore it, and I got to a point where it felt more like a burden. It didn't feel fun, so I didn't do it, and I wasn't motivated to make new stuff, and I wasn't finding the process fun anymore. And also, another thing as to why I've been away is that I've actually been really put off from creating content because of the state of F1's online community at the moment. Being a content creator a few years ago was really great. I mean, not to go behind the fort and pull back the curtain too much, but you know, we have a F1 content creators WhatsApp page, WhatsApp group, and there was a time where that page was bustling. Like, we would be talking to each other, would be helping each other, would be helping promote each other, advice, ideas, just chatting about what's going on in the world of motorsport in general. And that, because of the, well, essentially because of the trolling that comes from, you know, putting your name out there and your voice and what your thoughts are for people to listen to, putting it out there, and then the trolling that comes off the back of that from people who just find enjoyment from taking the piss out of you, essentially. That chat is kind of non-existent now, and it's sad. It's kind of sad. And seeing that sort of across the board, and I'm not speaking for everybody, it's just an observation, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I've noticed a drop in content creators, especially the ones which don't have big followings. And that, you know, in the end, it's meant to be fun, and it wasn't fun. I don't want to upload stuff and have some random person off the internet or random people going at me. And I was at the beginning of the year thinking about, yeah, maybe this is time I come back and start uploading again. But then the WTF1 stuff happened. You know, Matt and Tommy announced they were leaving. They announced a whole new bunch of hosts, which is really exciting. And my God, they've had so much backlash. And that makes me really sad. Because these are people who have essentially achieved their dreams of working in motorsport. Doing what we're doing, well, you're listening to this right now, doing what I'm doing right now, creating content for you as their job. I mean, that's the dream, isn't it, for a content creator in this space? It's to be able to just sit here, write your thoughts, say it out loud, have people listen, have that back and forth with your listeners. That's the dream, right? And these people achieve the dream. And the amount of backlash they've gotten, just because they're not Matt and Tommy. I was like, wow, like, is this the state of online F1 at the moment in terms of the community? That people have achieved their dreams, and because it's just not what's familiar, they're getting absolutely slammed for really no reason other than the fact that they're not what people are already used to. So that's kind of put me back doing it again, you know, podcasting again, but I want to do it again. I want to come back. I want to really, really give it a go and make this an accessible hobby for me and hopefully, touch wood, make creative and interesting content for you guys. So what are my plans for the podcast? Like I said a little while ago, I'm thinking maybe making the podcast more of a racing rambling style podcast. So in the past, I'll take a topic, I'll just get some bullet points in front of me on the computer and I'll talk. And it may not always be the most heavily edited thing. At the end of the day, I am not an editor. I do the best I can. I am not a slick presenter. I just am a fan of Formula One and of motorsport in general. And I love talking about it, getting my thoughts out there. And over the last 6 years, people have seemingly enjoyed what I've had to say. So my plan is to go with that, to make it a hobby which I can just do, and it won't be as time consuming as it used to be. I do appreciate that, you know, in reality, there will be time that will need to be spent getting the episodes sort of like bullet pointed together about what I want to say. But this is very much going to be sort of more of an off the cuff. A little bit of swearing. I try not to swear too much because I want to try and keep the podcast as accessible as possible. But at the end of the day, in my everyday speech, I do tend to swear a little bit. Try not to do it too much, rein it in. But if it slips out, it slips out. So the podcast will continue to have an explicit rating, just in case I do say the F word or anything worse or less worse than that. But that's the idea. So there are still things that I have done in the past which I want to incorporate into this sort of reboot, as well as just talking about random things. I want to incorporate like top 10 lists. Racing stories, you know, because I have some things already sort of half written. And if I can find a way of making that an enjoyable process for me, then I want to incorporate that. I still want variety. I don't want it to just be rambling about things, picking a topic and talking and talking. I want it to be a little bit of fun. I want it to have some variety. I want to be able to list things in the same way I was doing racing rankings. It won't necessarily be called that as a concept, but that's what I'm thinking. A little bit of what I've done in the past mixed in with just talking. I think that will work. So I'm excited. I genuinely am excited to be back podcasting and make it, like I said, a more fun, accessible hobby for me. I want to cover motorsports past, present and future like I have done, not just Formula One. I want to start talking about, I realise I haven't spoken about Formula E. I want to talk about more about IndyCar, NASCAR, Supercars, MotoGP, various rally. There's so many categories of motorsport which I haven't been able to sit down and talk about because I haven't really had that knowledge of some of the things that I've had in my mind, and therefore that takes time and research, and I haven't had that time to do it. So this feels like a much better way for me to be able to talk about various categories of motorsport. Like I said, I just want it to be fun again. So here we go. Those are my plans. And I am open to ideas. If you've liked something I've done in the past, or you think maybe I could tweak this, please tell me. At the end of the day, I'm the creator, you're the listener, and the listener's the most important part of this. You need to tell me what you want me to talk about. My friend Sean Mann's been asking me to do a racing story on Sir Frank Williams. Sean, I will do that for you at some point. You've been asking for it for about 4 years, but yeah, I will do that for you at some point, okay? But I'm excited. I'm excited to be back talking about motorsport again. And to be honest with you, motorsport in general hasn't really been particularly fun to talk about. But this is a good weekend to start again, because you've got the two biggest races in all of motorsport happening. Well, two of them anyway. Two of the biggest races in all of motorsport happening on the same day. I'm talking about the Monaco Grand Prix and the Indy 500. Going to start with the Monaco Grand Prix. This is my preview of the Monaco Grand Prix. Like I said, biggest race weekend of the year in terms of the two main single-seater categories having their showcase races on the same day. It doesn't get better than that, to be honest with you. So the Monaco Grand Prix will kick things off here in the UK. I think the race starts at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon local time, with the Indy 500 about 5 o'clock. We'll get to the Indy 500 in a minute. But let's talk about the Monaco Grand Prix. First of all, Mercedes have come to Monaco with some upgrades. Most notably, side pods on their car. Finally, after 15 months, Mercedes have said, right, that concept did not work. Here we go. We have a new idea, which is an old idea. We're going back to the side pods. I don't think Monaco is going to be the place where we're going to see the true potential of this revamped car. I suspect next time out in Spain will be the place where we're really going to see what that Mercedes can do. But it's an encouraging sign that Mercedes have seen the light and are going to try something more conventional. I admire them for trying something different. Innovation is hugely important in Formula One. And to be honest with you, in the last few years with the DAS system that Mercedes came up with in 2020, and that got shut down straight away, Formula One doesn't always like innovation. This is something that they tried. It didn't work. It is what it is. And I admire Mercedes for sticking with it, but it's now time to just admit, right, we tried it, it doesn't work. Let's go back to a conventional side pod. But like I said, I don't think this weekend is going to be the place where we're going to see what that new idea, which is an old idea, but what their new car concept is going to be able to do. I still expect them to have a good weekend and potentially be a lot more on the pace than he would have been with the old concept, because let's be frank, the side podless car, I just don't think worked in general. Just don't think it worked. But you never know. Mercedes might suddenly be 3 or 4 attempts clear of the field. You never know. We won't know until the cars are on track tomorrow. And I do feel sad that practice is not on a Thursday anymore. It's now on a Friday. That made Monaco feel quite unique. But yeah. I mean, to be fair, there's lots of other things about Monaco that makes it unique, for better or for worse. I do expect Red Bull to still do very well this weekend, not necessarily completely dominate the weekend, but I do expect them to do well. And you know, I'll get to who I think will win the race on Sunday, but I do anticipate it being one of the two Red Bull drivers. Red Bull have been absolutely on fire this year. Their DRS, for example, is incredibly OP. And end of the day, they've come out with a fantastic car. And the rest of the teams have got to try and catch up. Ferrari have had a horror show. I'll get to Ferrari in a second, but Mercedes could well become the real challenger to Red Bull going down the line into the rest of the season, but you never know. You never know. All right, Ferrari. Leclerc needs a good result. That's all I've got to say. He's had an incredibly up and down run at Monaco. He's either been on pole position or shunting it or being screwed over with bad strategy calls. The guy needs a good result. I don't think he'll win the race, and that's a spoiler for what my race prediction is, but I don't think he will have a bad weekend. He needs it, even if it's just for confidence. He needs a good result, get on the podium. So this is where my sort of out there prediction might be. If certain stars align, weather is predicted to be potentially wet over the weekend. And if it's one of those race weekends where Red Bull have an off day, an off race, an off weekend, this could be a race that Alonso wins. Because the Aston Martin is great. It's a great car. And Alonso's doing an absolutely fantastic job in it. But it very much depends on the stars aligning. But Monaco is such an anomaly that I do feel like if anything crazy was to happen, Alonso, with the experience that he's got, with the car underneath him, this could be the weekend that maybe he goes ahead and wins a race. But that, I don't think is a, you know, I don't think you can put money down on that. But it's potentially exciting that Alonso might be in the mix if certain things happen. If the weather plays a part, if Red Bull just have an off weekend, maybe Alonso's in the fight. Alonso's old team, McLaren, their new livery for this weekend, where it's basically incorporated three different, basically one of the each of the Triple Crown of Motorsport liveries into their design. It's interesting. I'm not a fan, if I'm honest, but each to their own. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and it's not in mine in this case with this car. But end of the day, it's different. It's Monaco. Cool. Whatever. It's a one-off. I can live with it. Not for my taste, but there we are. But their car's not great. Norris is doing a good job. Piastri's doing a better job than expected and is really taking it to Norris. So that's quite good and exciting for them. As long as they just get their act together and can really start producing some results, then maybe they're on the up. I don't know if Monaco is the place where that could start, but, you know, they have the lineup to go for it. So let's see what happens. AlphaTauri, there's talks of AlphaTauri all going all weird there. Nick de Vries has had a pretty horrible start to his career in Formula 1 with Toro Rosso. Not Toro Rosso, my God, what is this, 2019? AlphaTauri. There are talks that he's going to get dropped. And the rumours are it's either going to be Liam Lawson or a particular smiley Aussie that might be taking over that seat at some point if de Vries doesn't get his act together. I think it would be really harsh if they dropped him this quick. You have to give young drivers a full season in Formula. Admittedly, if they go up to the main team and they're not good enough, then you can drop them back to the junior team. But I think to drop him out of the junior team after not even half a year would be insane. But very Red Bull-like. Helmut Marko is ruthless. And that does feel like the sort of thing that Helmut Marko would do. My prediction is that Vries will stay. Will last the season. But we'll see. Red Bull have done crazier things. Another thing I want to talk about is, should the Monaco Grand Prix even be on the calendar? Yes, I think it should. Admittedly, it's not the best racetrack in the world at the, by any stretch. But I think Formula One needs one or two of these really classic circuits to remind us all of the history. And there is undoubtedly a novelty to seeing Formula One cars racing around Monaco. I mean, one of my earliest memories as a six-year-old watching Formula One was the Monaco Grand Prix and just being captivated by the idea of these ultra-fast race cars dancing around these the streets. And to be fair, there wasn't the races themselves back in the day weren't always that great either. But we come to expect a lot from our motor racing these days because of the likes of DRS, energy saving with the batteries and everything. So we expect a lot. And a lot of these tracks that we're going to in terms of street circuits are now essentially road courses, but with barriers lining them, as opposed to what this is, which feels very much like a real classic street track. I think Formula One needs the Monaco Grand Prix because it's you know, it's a history. It's like a historic artifact. And some may say, well, who cares about that? It's about the future. I'm like, yeah, I get that. But you've got 20 plus races, which are, quote unquote, the future and even the present and the future. Monaco, I feel like, is a throwback to the past. And I don't care what anyone thinks. I still get a kick out of it being the Monaco Grand Prix. It still feels like a sporting showcase. Not as big as the one that happens later in the day this Sunday, but I still think Monaco has its place. I mean, one idea I did have about maybe trying to, you know, prolong the life of the Monaco Grand Prix was to perhaps we could change the track. Sounds like a proper far-fetched idea, but, you know, I did see a video someone put online simulating a different layout. So you come out of the Grand Hotel Hairpin, was it Lowe's Hairpin? It used to be called the Grand Hotel Hairpin, whatever. You turn right, as though you're heading towards Portier, but you turn left. And then there's some streets that go up and around the town, and then essentially a tight hairpin, and then a blast back down towards the tunnel, through the tunnel, and back down onto the normal layout. It would probably add maybe 20 to 30 seconds to the lap, and it's fast and twisty, and I have no idea logistically if it actually would be safe and you could actually do it, but that is an idea that I saw and I wanted to mention it, because whilst it's unlikely to happen in any regard, Formula One is stubbornly going to stick to the classic layout. For better or for worse, there are options. You could potentially make the Monaco Grand Prix circuit longer, increase the overtaking opportunities into the chicane after the tunnel, and there you go, people might stop complaining. We actually, in this day and age, in the 2020s, actually have an overtaking spot at the Monaco Grand Prix. The only thing that could prevent it from happening would be the approach speed to the tunnel, but these cars have got so much downforce, I'd imagine even on light fuel, it wouldn't even be a lift, or a very, very light lift. Now, that's the only thing that could stop it for me. So that's my thoughts heading into Monaco. I haven't covered every single team, but those are my general thoughts heading into the weekend about other things that are happening in Formula One, as well as what could happen at Monaco. Let's give some qualifying predictions. In pole position, I have Charles Leclerc for the third year in a row. Charles Leclerc taking pole position. Max Verstappen second. Sergio Perez in third. Fernando Alonso fourth. With Lance Stroll in fifth. No signs, but signs will, as I'm about to show and tell you, will make up some places. My race prediction. I think Max Verstappen will win the race. Charles Leclerc will come second. Sergio Perez third. Fernando Alonso fourth. Carlos Sainz fifth. Right, that's my Monaco Grand Prix preview. What do you think is going to happen? Let me know on social media. But let's move on to the Indy 500. For me, the bigger of the two races this weekend. I'm so excited for the Indy 500. I love the Indy 500. I love IndyCar. And the IndyCar has really taken my heart in the last few years, I have to say. And the Indy 500 is its biggest race. So I am hyped. I do remember watching my first one back when I was a kid. I think I was 8 or 9. It was the year 2000. And I just remember it being so different to anything I'd ever seen before. The speeds and the danger. I just remember being captivated by it. I do feel like it has, more so than maybe any other motor race in the world, it has that Super Bowl-esque motor racing occasion to it. It feels like the Super Bowl of motorsport for me. It just feels like the very best drivers come from all over the world. I mean, you have to look at Fernando Alonso. He skipped the Monaco Grand Prix to have a crack at the Indy 500. You could argue maybe Le Mans as, you know, the bigger race, but I don't know. I would still lean towards Indy being the biggest motor race in the world. But that's just my opinion. It's also one of the most unpredictable races out there. There are so many elements that can dictate things, and honestly, I don't think there's a straightforward strategy that could take you to victory at the Indy 500. There's too many variables. You know, there's cautions come out what feels like every 10 minutes. So there's no way you can predict fuel strategies and when to take a pit stop. You have an idea, but you seriously have to be on the seat of your pants and have to really go with the flow, which is really exciting. And there's a lot of races, like we saw last time out, was it in Azerbaijan? Was it Azerbaijan the last race in Formula One? Anyway, the last race, there was no retirements. There was barely any yellow flags. It was as straightforward a race as it gets. And that's not good. And the Indy 500, because of how much of a battle of attrition it is, there will be various things that happen throughout the race, and drivers will fall out of the race and have shunts. Hopefully, everyone, God forbid, let's get everyone through the race safely, which I know is a weird thing to say, but it is motorsport, and it is at the speeds they're racing at, anything can happen. I mean, I'll talk about, we'll get to Stefan Wilson in a second, but, you know, these things happen in motorsport, especially at the Indy 500, but yeah, I just want everyone to get through it safe, obviously. Because practice and qualifying has been wild this year, with record speeds being recorded. It feels like the Indy cars are getting faster and faster, and that's really cool. And it just makes the whole event feel even bigger and more special. I mentioned Stefan Wilson. That's the biggest story of the month so far. He had a huge shunt with Catherine Legg during practice. He has fractured a vertebrae in his back, and to Stefan and that's horrible. Graham Rahal, who got bumped from the Indy 500, just failed to qualify, has taken that seat, which is nice. It's quite heartwarming. But, you know, he wouldn't have wanted to make the cut because he's replacing someone who's broke their back. You know, it's sad, but that's the danger of the Indy 500, which is why people try and keep coming back every year. It's kind of like the Isle of Man TT. People know the dangers and that people probably will die, but they go back because it's just so intoxicating and such an alluring race. You know, you want to take part in it because if you can do well here, then you really are one of the best. So that's the draw. Speaking of returning to the Indy 500, I mentioned her shortly, well, a little while ago, Catherine Legg. In her early 40s, the British driver Catherine Legg qualified for the Indy 500. An amazing effort. 10 years since she last took part in the Indy 500, she qualified 30th. Amazing effort. So impressive. Catherine, all the best to you. Fingers crossed from all of us here in the UK. Go and get a good result, Catherine. We're right behind you. Tony Kanaan is taking part in his final Indy 500 on Sunday as well. As you'll hear in a moment, I'm predicting a good result for the Brazilian in what is his final outing at Indy. 10 years after he last won it in 2013. Tony Kanaan is an IndyCar legend, has been racing for so long, and it will be weird seeing Kanaan hang up the helmet at Indy. But it's time. You know, the guy is approaching 50. He's not slow, and he's certainly not slow at Indy, but get out while you got your health, man. Good luck to you, Tony. We're all rooting for you again. Get a good result, and I am predicting a good result for Tony Kanaan. Right, here we go. Arrow McLaren. They have been flying. Their three drivers, Felix Rosenquist, Alexander Rossi, Pato O'Ward, they all qualified within the top 10. That's fantastic. That's such a great effort. O'Ward has been great. Rossi, he looks like he's found his mojo again at Arrow McLaren. And Rosenquist, again, similar, as almost like he's found his feet again. Because he had a really good start to his IndyCar career. And it kind of started to not flounder, but it didn't really go. The projection wasn't up. But he has been really quick as Rosenquist. Team Penske haven't been as strong as I thought they would be. Same with Andretti Autosport. Roman Grosjean has been knocking on the door of a first win all year, and I can't see it happening at Indy, but you never know. Like I said, anything can happen at the Indy 500. Right, so here is my race prediction for the Indy 500. I have Felix Rosenquist winning from Alex Palou, Rinus Vicky, Scott Dixon, and Tony Kanaan being my top five. So I think Rosenquist to get the job done. Palou second again. Rinus Vicky, who's having an amazing month of May. Scott Dixon, the trusty old vet, going in and getting a good result. And Tony Kanaan. I want Scott McLaughlin and Romain Grosjean, my two favourite IndyCar drivers, to have good results. And obviously, like I said, Catherine Legg to get a result. But those are my predictions for the Indy 500. And I really, really hope you all enjoy watching the race too. So thank you for listening to this episode. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on your app of choice. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. If there's an app that the show's not on, let me know and I'll look to get that sorted out for you. If you've enjoyed what you've listened to and think I deserve it, please give the show a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It really helps me out. Also, go ahead and follow the show on social media. Just search for Everything Racing Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thank you again for listening. Enjoy this weekend. I'm Rob Manifold, and I'll see you around the next corner.